Around a little bit. It's getting later. Let's go to Kina Lamed Aleph. Skipping a lot over here. Kina Lamed Aleph is one also that we do every single year because it strikes a certain chord. There's a contrast of the jubilance and the rejoicing and the very spiritual atmosphere of our departure from Mitzrayim with the very depressing, gloomy atmosphere of our departure from Yerushalayim. And we sing it in a tune. The high notes of Betzesim Mitzrayim, excitement, pride, and the low notes of Betzesim Yerushalayim, weak and dejected. And that's what Klal Yisrael is. Klal Yisrael can reach the greatest heights, and we could sink to the lowest depths. Klal Yisrael is rarely mediocre. We're on top of the world, or we're being trampled by the entire world. But it's interesting, we don't focus on where we're going. It's not that we're going to Eretz Yisrael, it's Betzesim Mitzrayim. It's not that we're going into Golos, it's Betzesim Yerushalayim. The Kina is trying to maybe teach us a little bit about Jewish history and Jewish destiny. This is one of the major themes of Tisha B'Av. Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Devarim, we read yesterday, Eicha Esal Levadi. Eicha is the word that he uses to describe what is a robust nation. Rapid growth of the Jewish people. What do? The community is growing so quickly. How do we accommodate this number of people? Do we have enough yeshivas? Do we have enough kosher restaurants? We do. Do we have enough? How do we handle all of this? It's Eicha. The Lashon is Eicha. But it's such a positive Eicha. A battered nation had grown to the point physically and spiritually that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't handle it alone. So it's this overwhelming Eicha. Eicha Salavadi. And Yirmiyahu, on the other hand, after seeing everything that he lived for go up in smoke, seeing a city razed, a vibrant center of Jewish life turned into absolute ruins, also Eicha. He's also overwhelmed. The word Eicha represents that our entire lives can turn in a moment. It doesn't have to follow like a logical pattern. It doesn't have to be steady, a natural progression. It could turn in a moment. A slave nation, bereft of any spirituality, can grow into the Dar Deya, the Dar against which every other generation is measured, and every other generation will fail that comparison. A nation that's living in secure borders with a Beis HaMikdash at its center could turn to ruins and destruction in a very short period of time. Because Hayad Hashem Tiktzar. Hashem could do anything. So the Kina talks about where we came from. Because it's not only where we are and where we're going to. Look where we came from. Look how quickly things went from the Avdus of Mitzrayim to Az Yashir Moshe to Beis Yiskonan V'Shachan Anan. Look how quickly we went from Yerushalayim to Vayikonen Yirmiyo to V'Cherev Letusha L'Tavach Letusha. The Avelus is so much more powerful when you think of it from this perspective. We have so much potential. And look at the spiritual ruins of Klal Yisrael. They used to say when I was a kid how tragic it is that the intermarriage rate in America was approaching 50%. 50% would be a huge bracha at this point. The spiritual ruins of Klal Yisrael. But it's a tremendous message of hope. It's a tremendous message of nechama. Because when you see Khorban and you see disturbing things and you see a very uncertain future, for the first time that we can remember, that people can be elected to Congress in the United States of America and unabashedly be anti-Semitic. Unabashedly. say horrible things. And you think, where does this lead us? How's this galus going to end? We don't know. We don't know what the plan is. But what we do know is Hayad Hashem Tikzar. Tisha B'Av falls on the same day of the week as the first day of Pesach. Rama writes that many people have accustomed to eat an egg at the Seder as a reminder, because an egg is a Meichel of Avelus. So it's a reminder for Tisha B'Av. The Blujava Rebbe used to have a minhag to save a tiny piece of his afikomen for the Sudam of Sekes before Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av has the potential for salvation. Tisha B'Av is going to be Nepach. We don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av. A blink of an eye. Yeshua Hashem Karefayin. So we end with this high note. Sasam V'Simcha V'Nas Yagar V'Anacha B'Shuv Yerushalayim. And Klal Yisrael, you know, we are a positive people. We have to be a positive people. We should see things with a positive perspective. I always say that it's such a black eye on Jewish history, in Jewish history, that when the second Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, no one came back. Very few people. Only people who had nothing going on in Bavel, people who were having no success. So they came back, a bunch of people who weren't making it. But people weren't interested, and that's so embarrassing that we didn't come back. So the way a negative person would look to it would say, and our generation is any better? And this is the way I've always said it. Our generation is any better? Because Baruch Hu in his infinite kindness has given us back Eretz Yisrael. Torah is thriving. Even the economy is thriving. Jewish life is thriving in the ways that Jews thrive. You know, healthy debate or unhealthy debate sometimes, you know. And where are we? How many of us are coming back? But maybe the flip side, maybe the other way to look at it is, we've been shown a glimmer of Geula. Like the door is open to drop. There's still a mosque on the Harabais. We still don't have peace. We still have enemies surrounding us that want to kill us. But there's a glimmer. There's a glimmer. We still don't have a religious government. But there's a glimmer. We've gotten back a Jewish government. We've gotten back Torah life in Eretz Yisrael. And look how many people are connecting to that and are going back for just a glimmer. Maybe we're actually correcting a problem here. When we had actual Geula, when we had an actual Beis HaMikdash rebuilt after 70 years, we weren't interested. And now just a glimmer. And how many people are going back? We have to be positive. We have to look at things in a positive way. And see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know how he's going to answer all the kashas. But you know, it's the way we're supposed to look at other Jews. Rav Meir Tversky recently spoke about being Dan Lekav Schus. What's the inyan of being Dan Lekav Schus? There's a Gemara that says that a person was Dan, one of the Amorim, Lekav Schus, so he gave him a bracha. He said, just like you were Dan me, Lekav Schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Dan you, Lekav Schus. So Rav Meir Tversky points out, that makes no sense. What does Dan Lekav Schus mean? He didn't say it that way, but what does Dan Lekav Schus mean? Dan Lekav Schus means, I don't know. I'm not sure. Did you do it this way, that way? I don't know. So I'm going to assume the best. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Dan Yu Lekav Schus? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not know? What's he missing? Where's his lack of clarity that he needs to be Dan Lekav Schus? So he said, obviously it's not what Dan Lekav Schus means. When we talk about judging other people, the best we ever expect of people is reserve judgment. Till you know more, reserve judgment. That's not what Dan Lekav Schus is. Dan Lekav Schus, don't reserve judgment, judge Lekav Schus. It means don't look at another Jew in an unbiased way. We should always be biased Lekav Schus. We should never just be pariv about what's happening to another Jew. Because we love them. And if we love them, it matters to me. and someone I love and someone that matters to me, I'm going to be done in a certain way. Not because of lack of knowledge, but I'll interpret their actions in a more positive way. That's what a Jew has to do. We suffered the whole morning. We've been talking about all the tragedies that we've suffered throughout the years. We've suffered more than our share of tragedies. But we're essentially a positive people because we know where we're going. We know that, yes, there was Betzesi, Mirushalayim, but we also know, as the Kina ends on that super positive note, of Beshuvi Lirushalayim.